Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, and welcome to our new episode. I am Morgana Ray. I'm here with my husband, Devin.
Yes, who is her husband?
Yes.
And I'm Devin.
Yes. Yesterday was the 8-year anniversary of our first date, the date that I wanted to blow off.
Is this a date we're going to have to relive? Is that where we're moving towards?
Well, we may have to relive it. I think we've talked about it before, but yesterday was the anniversary.
It was. Happy anniversary, my love.
And we celebrated by going to the beach and staying, you know, very safe distance. I went swimming and we got some Thai takeout, and my husband captured a feral kitten that I've been grooming and trying to capture for months now.
Right. And I just reached down and picked it up.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think we might be a little late because I suspect petting the cat, little kitten today, that she may be pregnant. Which I really wanted. I wanted to get her fixed before that happened. So I guess we will find that out. But that's, you know, some husbands bring flowers. My husband brings me what I really want.
Which is house cats.
Which is house cats.
Which is a
bouquets of house cats.
Right. So I think we've talked about everything we had planned for today.
No.
I'm so glad we ran through it quickly.
Okay. No, there's more. Right before the show began, we were talking to a friend who just put up his profile on OkCupid, which is where Devin and I met. I think Devin first reached out to me July 11, 2018, and we had our first date August 11, 2018.
Right, after my wife took her own sweet time to get back to me.
Well, Devin had already ruled out dating, shall we say it?
Well, I mean, I'm fine with saying it. I know it's probably not a politically correct thing to do, but I remember having a conversation after I had written Morgana. I remember having a conversation with a friend who was sort of like, you know, hey, you write these women and they don't write back. And, you
Guilty.
Know, it's very frustrating. And his response was, this is just his opinion. Stop dating white women. And I was like, wow, that is an, and I asked him, he's like, yeah, no, it's a different, there's a cultural thing. So the women that I had been writing, which were, I think, you know, mostly Caucasian women, wanted a lot of email back and forth and discussion and questions to be answered. And then there was an extensive wait list to talk on the phone. And then maybe we could sort of meet on opposite sides of a coffee shop in the middle of the day. And
you just described our whole relationship.
Yes,
yeah,
I did in one moment. And then he said, yeah, no, you stop that and just date everybody else. And within a flash, a blink, like I wrote this woman who was a Latina and lovely, lovely woman. And I remember we had, like, I wrote her and she wrote me back with nothing but her phone number, which was like, wow, okay, I was not expecting that because that is a guarded prize. And so I wrote her, I called her 2 minutes later, and she answered. We spoke on the phone, and at some point, like 25 minutes into the conversation, she goes, I'm really hungry. And my response, because I've been conditioned, was to say, well, I'll let you go. I'll let you go. No more conversations for us. I'll call you another time. And she goes, well, don't you eat? And I didn't even know what to do with this information. Do I eat? Yes, I do eat. And she said something like, well, you could come pick me up. What? We've just been talking for 10 minutes. She goes, well, I don't think you're, are you a murderer? And I said, no. And she goes, okay, well, I'll, you know, when can you be here? Anyway, long story short, it didn't work out, but it was really sort of, you know, kind of all of a sudden like this whole world opened up to me in a short amount of time. And then I thought, okay, well, my Morgana finally wrote me back. And I think, okay, well, she was grandfathered in because I had written her previously. And of course, the rest is history. But
so I ruined that whole new world for you.
Right. No, you are my last, you're my last white woman.
Yeah. Your last woman, period.
That's it. So there we go. So all kinds of nuttiness.
And on that happy note, we have Kimberly. Kimberly on one of our lines.
Oh, right. Do we take calls on the show?
Yes, we take calls.
Oh, okay. So I guess we're taking
Kimberly
calls.
Kimberly on line two.
Kimberly,
hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's going on, Kimberly?
Hey, this internet dating and this OkCupid. So I'm having some pretty crazy and online and social media dating adventures. So I just thought I'd call it and share.
Oh, please do.
And then you can give me feedback. So Facebook friends for a long time, business acquaintance, really no personal communication with them at all. I talk about dating online all the time because I have lots of friends and it's personal and it's kind of funny, and so I've been talking about creating a dating profile, and he sends me a message like 3 weeks ago and says, hey, send me your profile. Not, hey, can we connect, I'm interested, nothing, just, hey, send me your profile. And I thought it was a little strange, and I kind of said, no, you send me yours and I'll send you mine if you want to see if we're a connection. And he never did. He said, okay, he never did. And then this week, he drives 800 miles and just shows up in my neighborhood and says, okay, I'm in your neighborhood. Let's connect. It was super creepy.
So what happened? I mean, was this a date or was this just like super creepy and he's now at the door with flowers still waiting?
And by the way, I vote with you, Kimberly. It does seem kind of creepy.
There was never, he was 800 miles away, so I didn't feel like I needed to go any further with the conversation. When he said, hey, send me your profile without any other communication, it felt like a job application. So I'm not going to send him, like, my resume. And
right.
So I just thought it was done and over. And then, boom, he pops up in my neighborhood. He just went on a road trip and decided to just pop into my neighborhood. Thank goodness he doesn't know where I live.
Right. I think he's watched far too many romantic comedies. I think that's sort of that thing that they show in a romantic comedy where the guy thinks it'll be cute to hide in the girl's closet and everybody laughs in a movie theater. And in the meantime, the real girl is like panic stricken and has, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to, you know, stand on the beach across in front of you, holding up that giant, what a boombox.
Right,
boombox scene.
Which also, under a different context, could be really creepy.
Well, it's one thing when it's, you're a 15-year-old, and my guess is he's older than 15.
Is he 15?
He is. No, I mean, he's successful. He's, you know, he's an upstanding person, but it was so off-putting. It made me feel so uncomfortable. I never gave him any inclination I was interested whatsoever.
I would definitely trust your discomfort. It's there for a reason. My immediate take was, is this like a really long-distance booty call, Devin?
I totally get why you might view this immediately as somebody weird and creepy. I'm not saying you should go with him or date him or meet him. I'm not saying any of those things, but I would probably lean towards, he may be very successful financially in work life. That doesn't necessarily mean he has his stuff together in romance. And he may not, you know, this could be like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I've got nothing else going on, so I'm going to drive 800 miles. And this should prove to her, because I watched romantic comedies, and this somehow in some weird brain pattern made sense.
This actually makes me think of Asperger's. for people who wired differently kind of take their cues, like not really knowing how to behave, so they do their best guess of how to interact. And so I have compassion for him there, but that still doesn't sound like it's your person.
Well, no, I mean, and Devin's advice is good too, because that's a different and a man's perspective, and it's good to broaden my horizons for the next one. But this one is definitely a no for me.
Right? No, he sounds. I mean, maybe he has a clinical diagnosis, but I would probably put him in the category of knucklehead or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, dude, what are you doing driving 800 miles? First, you have to kind of ask for a phone number. And maybe have a Zoom call and chat and say really hip things like, what's your sign? And see how that works. No, don't do that, because that would be really 1974.
Yeah, but it all comes back. You know, flare jeans, lava lamps.
It does. So maybe he will be, you know, that broken clock is right twice a day, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you having any success online?
No, not really. It's I just joined and then there were so many hundreds and maybe like 10, 12 out of 600 possibilities.
That sounds reasonable.
So, it's not a big, serious, successful thing. I'm just kind of paying attention, but it's interesting so far. So anyway, I just thought I'd call in because you guys talked about that.
Well, thank you so much. I actually have more to say on the subject, but thank you for calling in. I think what Kimberly just brought up was a really sort of an interesting point, because we bring up these ideas that we sort of take personally and we have feelings about and all that other stuff. And a lot of it, I believe, because I really, maybe I'm a cup half full kind of guy, that I think most people have sort of a good heart with things. They just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of saying, hey, maybe I should call her or ask her, you know, for her number and then, you know, do make a few phone calls or have that experience rather than, you know, the 800 mile happenstance trip is a tough sell for anybody to take. And so I hope any men out there will listen. And
also, because Kimberly said that he was very successful in business, and this goes for men and women, the mindset and behaviors that can lead to great success in business may be totally the wrong approach when we're talking about romantic relationship.
Oh, yeah. Well, because there are different sorts of things. There are different sorts of things, and it's a different mentality, and it's a, you know, we're works in progress.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're here. We're here to do this crazy, sexy midlife love thing, in part because we get to learn our lessons and maybe laugh about them a little bit and enjoy ourselves. So I have no doubt that, Kimberly will find love out in the universe.
Absolutely. And this guy will find somebody that his stuff works on.
I hope either that or the police are roaming around, right. You know, looking for guys like that with, you know, too much enthusiasm.
Oh, we have Lars on line 4. Hello, Lars.
Yeah. Hi. Well, obviously this pandemic has changed everything.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So.
Oh, yeah. No, we're in a new world, Lars.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first things first. So, I was actually talking with a woman for a few weeks. We only hung out once in person, but we felt like the video chats were in-person hangouts due to pandemic, because I was living with a person with asthma. But once I moved into my new place, then we decided to go hang out in person, and then she ended it the next day, which was unfortunate. So, first things first. Just so much was going on at once. Like, it felt like everything was moving 1,000 kilometers per hour with everything going on here. And, so this lady and I, we had some major differences, which we already knew going in. I just wonder why she ended it after we had been talking every day for 3 weeks, including a multiple hour long phone calls or video chats. Could it be because she said she was, say, virgin, and I am not, though, even though we did not have sex per se, was making out the first time we hung out in person maybe too much, or do you think there's just something with her that I just don't know that is why she ended things?
Well, having been a woman for a while.
Yeah, but obviously not in coronavirus pandemic.
You know what? That doesn't really change all that much. When I was growing up, it was AIDS. No, we didn't have masks, but there was still, you know, the specter of safety concerns, and humans don't change all that much. So here would be my first advice to you is, yes, of course, you can't possibly know everything or what's going on with her because you can't be in her head. That said, I would believe her. And if you made out, that may have scared her, because I can remember when I was a virgin and I was making out with a boyfriend and he became aroused and it really freaked me out. And I broke up with him soon after that.
Oh, so that almost matches up. As scary as that is to say, I think that same situation almost matches up. I've just been asking myself what happened, because we were
not
doing things
your
well.
Fault. Yeah. By the way, I adore him.
And she also blocked me on Facebook, which I wasn't going to bother her anyway.
Yeah, but that's a blessing, because it's actually easier if there's no contact. So maybe she had feelings that scared her. Maybe you had a physical response that scared her. It doesn't make you wrong, and it doesn't make her wrong. It just means you're a wrong match.
I look at it. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I also look at it in a little bit of a broad spectrum, that really, if we're looking for a partner, because dating is really about sort of sifting through the sand to find the thing, right? I think there's also a certain element of she just might have known you weren't the right person.
Sorry, I lost you there for a second. You there?
Oh, no worries. There could have just been a component where she just knew that you weren't the right person for her in this moment. Sometimes it might have had to do with her sexual history or lack thereof. And it also might have had something to do with just, you know, sometimes two people meet and the phone call sounds great or the letter writing sounds great. And then you meet and it's just not the match. Like, so I tend to look at it is now you're available to find the right person.
I totally agree with that. Like, I'm so grateful that she, as soon as she knew, she didn't string you along. Because some people do, because they like the attention or they're afraid of hurting your feelings. I've been on both sides of that equation. And the sooner you are free, the sooner you are free to find your person. But
I decided to make a hinge. Today, because I've never been on Hinge before, so I decided time to get back on the apps again.
Good.
I think the apps things. I mean, obviously, I'm for those who don't know, I found my wife on OkCupid, but I had always looked at it as I'm telling the universe I'm looking for a relationship, and I was not expecting OkCupid to work. And so I think what you're doing is great. Go explore some apps. Go have some fun. Maybe you'll find the perfect person through one of the apps. Be nice. And then, of course, you know, just recognize that the coronavirus thing is the coronavirus thing. It's just one of the things that we have to deal with on top of, you know, being nice and putting your best foot forward and hopefully finding the right person.
But we were talking last week about how in some ways it is a blessing. Like, it's a lot easier, especially for guys, to date a lot of people at the same time. You don't have to, like, have a budget for lots of coffees and lots of dinners. Us women, we do have to put on the makeup if we are going to do Zoom. Or you're just young and beautiful with good lighting. But, you know, to Really, it's easy to explore. I've heard people say that they are like more experimental and more adventurous because it is all virtual. So that there isn't the danger of an in-person meeting. So you can meet lots of people and see what pops.
Yeah. So Lars, we wish you great success
and have fun.
Hey, thank you. And I'll just tell you is I also did just a little more than make out with her too, which that probably also scared her. But I probably just did too much too quickly. And one problem that she had brought up, but she brought this up towards the end, was we were only having big talks. We weren't having enough goofy conversations. So I guess I'll just have to start doing that early on just so that conversation doesn't come up again. And
what conversation?
Yeah, just like fun, goofy conversations without always being big talk.
It depends. Yeah. Devin and I talked about the meaning of life in the universe and whether there really is a God separate from our perception of the universe. I mean, that was our first date conversation.
Yeah. So,
yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah, you may not hear us. Lars, you can hear on the replay. If Lars's connection dropped. I would say don't change yourself. I mean, if there's something in you that is getting in the way of love and your ability to give love and receive love, yeah, totally address that. But if you are a deep talk kind of person, don't pretend that that's not what you are, because you will be happiest with other deep talk people. And as I was saying, Devin and I, we were talking about life, the universe, religion, the nature of reality, whether it exists outside of our consciousness, all that stuff on our first 6-hour date 8 years ago yesterday at Tom Bergen's bar in Hollywood, where we sat for 6 hours and neither of us drank any alcohol, but we ate a lot of pistachios.
Right. Cheap date.
I am.
That's why I knew there could be a second date.
But I'm gonna
offer a little bit of a counter to that.
Okay.
Is that I think it's actually important to ask questions, and this could be male or female. In other words, I think you ask questions about the other person, and then I think you go with what happens. In other words, somebody may answer serious questions in a sort of a goofy, silly way, and you allow that because that's another way you get to know who that person is. And I think you allow for it. I would actually say our first date, I don't remember getting all serious. I mean, maybe we did, but I think I was fairly goofy too.
I also asked questions
and allowed you to talk about the mysteries of the universe.
Well, but we both kind of agreed. That was like a nice little meeting point of the idea that we can't really know what's outside of our own experience.
And you can't, I don't think you can plan too much. You know, you go out and you meet somebody and you have your cup of coffee, or maybe you have your
martini. And you see how
martini.
You feel. If you feel like you can be yourself, and if you like the person you're with, and be nice. And don't try to make every date the one. It only took me 40 or something years to figure that out. Don't make every first date the one. You're just meeting. Everybody else seemed to pick that up before I did. When I picked that up, it suddenly became a lot easier. I think it is harder for Lars because he was invested with all the Zoom relating.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I remember having an email back and forth with I was in my mid-20s, early mid-20s, and I was emailing, like it was sort of like an email fix-up from a friend.
An email was new then.
Yeah, it was new. And so we were writing letters back and forth, and she really liked the letters. And then we finally, and she couldn't talk for one of a variety of reasons, but we finally got on the phone. And we started talking, and I mean, it was, I don't you're going back a million years, so I don't remember the conversation, but I do remember that she wrote me a lengthy letter explaining why that she didn't want to communicate with me anymore. And I think it was completely truthful, but it was like, I don't like the sound of your voice. And there's a different vibe. The letters were one thing, but the talking, I don't know. And it was like a lot of expository ideas. It was amazing.
That actually sounds a lot like me. That sounds very female.
Maybe. We've been fixed up before
no,
we met?
Okay, no, so it wasn't. No. Okay, and we went to the same gym for many, many years, and you didn't hit on me once, and I will continue to berate you for that until
all right.
we die.
I don't know. Were you actually a gym goer or just a
yes,
gym
Yes, I was.
Membership?
I even had a trainer. There was a time
oh,
when
that's
I was
why.
Quite fit.
Because the trainers were somewhere else.
Okay, so anyway, I have a song for today's episode. Devin was not warned.
So
this song is going out to you, Kimberly, and you, Lars, as soon as our producer, Doug, cues it up.
She handed me back my menu, yeah, and said she wanted more. By this last request, I thought I offered her my best. I watched her walk out my door. Get up, I'm better, find a day special. Will be all the things that she loves. I came with another plan so I could be her every man. My smoke is bold love. A slight set. Blue napkins once, romantic tunes to turn around. I even put on a suit. Some daring and caring, a taste of overbearing, plus everything I could be. I wanted to fill a plate and get it to appreciate my smoke is bold love. Knew it wasn't me to serve half baked sincerity, but I from a tie too tight, too busy practicing smiles for her that night. Yeah, yeah. I hope that she had a hunger. Yeah, when she walked in the room, she read my menu, then she left. Not convinced to try the chef. I guess the wedding was over. Looking back, I have to laugh. Wish I had a photograph. Plan on me ever since that recipe. My smoke is bold. That plan I had was thrown away. My smoke is bold. Now soup you should served every day. My smoke is bold. Now they ask for more. My smoke is bold love.
And that was a Devin Gallaudet original about a bad date written after a bad date.
Yeah, that is... I'm not saying that about the date. I'm saying that about the song. Now, so just to kind of share a little bit, that was a song that I wrote about a bad date. And what did I end up doing? I ended up playing the instruments on that song and changed the lyrics. And I think at the time I even workshopped it in one of those fancy workshopping songwriting classes. And as I recall, the guy who discovered the Beach Boys, a man named Nick Vinay, described it as clever.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a compliment. But yes, that was a bad date. And I remember the original lyric was, "My smorgasbord, like eating off the floor, my smorgasbord of love." So, yes.
Wow, that's very evocative.
You'd think, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, I think part of the reason why my lovely wife played that song for you just right now, other than for her own amusement.
I love that song.
I'm glad you like that song. I had just gone through, well, I'm still in the process of going through a box of old cassettes and videos that are anywhere from like, 25 to 40 years ago. And so I wrote that song probably in 1994, 95, something like that. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time. It's certainly 25 years. So it was sort of, you know, nostalgic. It's one of those things that anytime you go through sort of like a, it's kind of like going through old photographs, you just kind of have these little experiences that are sort of, on the one hand, quite bittersweet, and on the other hand, really quite wonderful. And so that was a time that I was living, you know, probably, you know, 1994, 95.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you want to call in with your dating experience or relationship question, you can call in anytime. The number is 888-627-6008. And I'll say it again, 888-627-6008. So, you know, as you've been going through all these tapes of your music and your life, and that band that you were talking, what was you were discovering this old band that you were in with, like, Black Lace or?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, there was just all these different iterations of people that I had played music with. And I was briefly, and I mean, literally, I think I was 15. So we're going back a great many, many years.
Yeah.
And I was briefly in a heavy metal band where me and the drummer, I was playing bass. We were probably, again, she's probably 14 or 15, maybe 16. And the two other guys were like 25 or 26. And so I was in this heavy metal band, and all of the songs, I've unearthed this ridiculous tape where all the songs were like A Cyclone and Midnight Lace and Angel in Black. Oh. And it was about as cliche a heavy metal band could possibly be.
That's the job of a 14 or 15 year old heavy metal band. Although the guys in their 20s should have known a little better.
I don't know. I mean, I it's not the music. Like, if I'm going to listen to music, it wasn't that. But I will say, looking back, the songs were kind of good.
Yay.
Maybe we should play that one, but that would probably be too offensive, would be my guess. The lyrics were...
Maybe,
you know,
who knows?
Dubious heavy metal band lyrics from 19. And this was,
what could be more fun than that?
Yeah, this was early, early 80s.
Of course. You have a friend from, like, your musical life who just passed.
Oh, yeah. No, last night, I don't even know. How do you even do this? A dear friend of mine, Burke Wallace, who, if you're in the Los Angeles area, was a blues musician for many, many years, played under all kinds of different monikers and was fun and groovy and hip and the coolest cat in town. And I knew him. I got sober over 20 years ago, and he was one of those sort of like the first people that was like, he became a bro that was just, you know, on my team, really supportive. And we would trade guitars relentlessly with each other and play music. And, you know, matter of fact, on that same collection of songs that we just played, that Smorgasbord of Love, uh-huh. I wrote a song for another woman.
Uh-huh.
And he played the guitar solo for that. I think it's probably the best part of that.
Is that that awful song about you've been drinking longer than you?
No, that was for somebody else. There's a lot of girls running around.
You haven't written a song about me.
Well, you know, okay.
I'm outraged.
I know you are. I will work on
this. This is unacceptable.
I'm going to work on it. That's all I can tell you.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So, you know, I think part of the, I think the crazy sexy part of the midlife love is important. Like, I think as we get older, we have a different sort of perspective that I believe that if you do it right, is quite liberating. Like you can have sort of like inner peace, and you can, you know, have your foibles and go through life imperfectly and it be okay. And, you know, death is a thing that happens. And it's one of those things where I think, you know, when I was writing my Smorgasbord of Love, the last thing I was thinking about was mortality. I was thinking about love and idealized virtues and things like that. And now it's just like, after you've had those kinds of things happen, you start having a different kind of perspective of what's important. I think that's one of the reasons why I was capable of being in a good romantic relationship, is because I realized that it wasn't just available to me forever.
Oh, that's a good point. I think that what we need and what we value shifts. I think it becomes less about what we saw in a movie, like, unless you're driving 800 miles from Arizona, and more about the quality of companionship and witnessing somebody else's life and just getting to be there. Just, there's so much comfort in just getting to be there for somebody else and with somebody else and have that reciprocated. And this was coming up in a conversation recently also. And yes, somebody you're attracted to. I hear from men frequently, and they're so apologetic and ashamed, where they say, I'm so shallow that I have to be attracted to the woman. That's not shallow. That's part of the package of romance, is attraction. And it doesn't even really matter what the person looks like. It is what is attractive to you. And are you attractive to that person too? And newsflash, it's the same for women. We need to be attracted to our partner, because otherwise you're saddling your partner with somebody who doesn't really want to be with him.
Right, and you're taking up space. I mean, yeah. That was the good part for Lars, and I hope he gets this, is that regardless of what the reason is, that this woman didn't want to pursue a relationship with him, is that if she did, sort of against her gut check, whatever the reason is, it's irrelevant, that whatever her reason is that she didn't allow it to try to be a nice person, to, you know what I mean? And then ultimately tie him up so he wouldn't be able to find somebody else. And I think as we get older, we're probably much more better at it and compassionate with it, but with the understanding of, hey, you know, if I'm just dating somebody to be nice, it's a detriment to both of us over that long term, even if it's just weeks.
Well, I look back on my dating and like how many decades I was a well-intentioned idiot and caused unnecessary hurt and experienced unnecessary hurt. Because if you go by books and movies, that's a surefire formula for a psychotic relationship. Starting with Wuthering Heights was like the textbook for like the worst possible romantic model.
Can you give for the folks at home? Because, you know, I don't
Wuthering
think I've ever
Heights.
Read Wuthering
two,
Heights.
Okay, two people fall madly in love as children. He's the foster child and she's the daughter of the mansion owner in Scotland. But she wants to live a rich life and is ashamed of him, so she rejects him. And then he gets rich, comes back. She's already married, so she drops dead. And then the rest, and then that's still in the first half of the book. Now you've got a romantic book where one of the romantic partners is dead for the rest of the book. But the reason I just never was able to get into it was that he behaved so horribly for a person who wasn't even there anymore. And it's just hard to root for people who are narcissistic and mean and bad relationship partners who then make everybody else in their lives suffer. I never got the romance of that. I'm on team Jane Eyre. The sister wrote Jane Eyre, which is also a really messed up psychotic relationship too, because he has a crazy or abused, you know, let's question what actually meant crazy back then. He had an inconvenient wife locked up in his closet while he's falling in love and wooing the governess. So yeah, our archetypes for romance over the last few centuries have not really set us up for success.
Well, I think what it does is it allows us to make mistakes.
Yeah.
See, I'm that cup half full guy. So even though, like, you know, when we were sort of kidding that, you know, some guy sees a romantic comedy and then he gets the harebrained idea to break into the woman's apartment and surprise her from the closet. Horrible idea, right? We can agree with that. But I think it allows us to, you know, again, I'm certainly not encouraging being a total knuckle brain and doing illegal things. But I think that we're supposed to kind of be encouraged to try and to gamble a little bit. Like at some point, maybe you shouldn't be breaking into the closet. But what you probably...
Or into the house in general.
Right. No, totally. But you should probably say hello in line at the bank. I think you can do that. And I think that's the encouragement that some people need, because some of us are, it's scary. It's because, you know, even a hello is sometimes quite risky. I mean, I think it's gotten a lot easier with sort of like online dating where you can just, you know, swipe left or right and, mm-hmm. you know, see if you've got a match.
It's safer. And again, it was interesting to me to hear, especially for women, because they are not meeting in person. The guy doesn't know the address. She can feel more free and experimental and have fun with it, because it doesn't mean it's going to lead to anything, but maybe it will. Certainly while we're in this big pause, I think, yeah, take chances and meet people on Zoom.
Yeah, well, that's almost no chance at all. That's an easy one.
Yeah, it's safe and it is nice that it is taking what now first base is like meeting in public with with masks on. A home run today is taking the masks off to kiss, is how I would
frame right. That's it. A whole different universe. So, by the way, if you are in the mood to talk about dating and modern dating, which is proof of my wife bringing up Wuthering Heights and Jane Eyre. You can call us at 888-627-6008. Right.
Another conversation that we were having is, so we were talking with this, a friend of ours before the show began. And so he's on OkCupid. And what I love about OkCupid is it has all of these great polarizing questions to kind of let you know your compatibility. Like my litmus test question was, which is bigger, the Earth or the Sun? And if somebody couldn't get that right, easy no, move on. And so my friend was saying that a lot of the questions were really pointed politically, left wing or right wing, which I think is a great thing. And maybe that's why I answered all those questions. And somehow Devin slipped through my filter.
Right.
And was a stealth conservative that I knew nothing about.
I'm really not even that conservative. I just think you're really, really left leaning. I think I'm kind of more of a moderate, but, you know, in fairness, probably a slightly right.
I think that I'm a moderate, very left.
Yeah, no, that's, that makes no sense.
So, yes, you, if I had known, that first date never would have happened, but you bid your time. And you were very sneaky about it until I was too in love and too married and it was impossible to do anything about it.
Well, so I tricked you.
Yes, you did.
No, I actually think I did probably the very right thing. I think the political conversation and the religion conversation and the abortion conversation are all, I think these are real things that people have to get a handle on for themselves. But I also don't think that is first date conversation. I don't know. Like, I think we're supposed to get to know each other in over things that we could, like, what do you want out of your future? And what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? Not who might you consider voting for based upon the political ramifications of the current economic system.
But as both of those questions are related. Like, where I see myself in 5 years is related to who is in leadership.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's why. So I answered my questions like I nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So it all worked out. And by the way, I would probably argue that people who are a little bit left probably need somebody who's a little bit right in their
just
life.
Just to drive us crazy.
No. I think in vice versa, because I think part of where, you know, I think we want to find sort of a middle ground. I think we're striving to find somebody. But if we just sort of like everybody's blocked because we disagree on an ideology or, you know, on a moment or something like that, that doesn't make any sense. So that's my two cents. Are people screaming and crying on the other end of these radio waves? I don't know.
Well, one of the points that I wanted to make on today's show, like when we're talking about, you know, how do you know if the person is the right person, even if he has the wrong political beliefs? We won't name
the
names.
More educated political beliefs. Please go on.
Is the right person brings out your best? It's like the right person creates a container of safety and love and encouragement or whatever it's going to look like, because it'll look, the flavor will change depending on the context and the time and the relationship. But, for a gazillion years, I was dating and I was like new to business success, though I was very excited about it. And I found that like my enthusiasm for my business was either scaring off or repulsive to a lot of guys that I dated, because I was making a lot of money, I was traveling a lot, and I had a great life. And I was told that I intimidated a lot of guys, which was heartbreaking because I liked some of these guys that I was intimidating, and some of them were very successful. And one of the things about Devin was Devin doesn't intimidate. Like, I've never seen you intimidated by somebody. Maybe there's a baseball player or a guitarist somewhere, but like,
I had lunch with Roberto Duran. That was mind-blowing. No, but you don't even know who Roberto
Not
Duran
a clue.
Is. All right, Roberto Duran was a boxer, probably one of the 10 best boxers, top 20 best boxers of all time. And I was on a press media event in Panama City, and we had lunch at Roberto Duran's restaurant in Panama. And the food was something to miss. Like, have something to eat before you go to that restaurant. But Roberto Duran was a fascinating guy. I mean, he was nice enough. I mean, here's this guy who's like an all-time world champion boxer who fought Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm not going to bore the audience with my thing, but when you talk about intimidation, I tend to look at it as that we all have the sense of humanity. We have our human experience, which are undeniable things, which means we're probably going to go through pain and loss and challenge and discomfort and a whole mess of feelings.
But the point I wanted to make, because
I was attempting to derail.
Right. Is that I meet women all the time who are successful, who are making money, who are looking for love, and have that experience of scaring it off. And the right person doesn't get scared off. And by the way, the right person, it doesn't mean that he makes as much or more money than you do, because that's totally irrelevant. those people can be just as insecure, or maybe they need to be the star. And that's not what to look for. Women, and this is I should probably do a whole show on this instead of sneak it in the last 10 minutes. But it was just something I wanted to bring up. If you are financially successful and you don't need to be supported by another person, that is so wonderful, because it means you get to choose the best partner instead of seeking out the best pocketbook. So, of course, you want to pick somebody who is responsible for himself, because that's just part of being a grown up and integrity. But if you are successful, it does give you more choices. You just need to, in my case, I think I was just so new to this level of success. I was probably a little too obsessed with it at the time. But there's also this thing about you do not need to prove yourself to the right person. And your business success is not how you win a lover, because they don't care. Guys don't care about that. But the right partner will not be scared off, is not choosing you for that either, and will bring out your best. And one of the happy side effects of when I started dating Devin, my client results started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I think because I was so happy and felt so secure in an area of my life where I had not been happy and had not been secure before. And that was an energy leak. But when you have something that is filling you and lifting you instead of leaking you, that has repercussions, positive, like I want to say reverberations in all these other areas of your life that may have already been pretty terrific. And it just gets bigger because it just feeds all of it. It becomes really macrocosmic.
So I think all that's wonderful. And then I have a question.
Yes.
So if I'm a guy and I was intimidated.
Really?
No, I'm not. I'm giving you a total hypothetical. But this is me. My hypothetical is based on knowing other men. And I've known a lot of men in real, you know, like real honest ways. We've had real honest dialogues. I've never had a guy come up to me and say, wow, she really intimidated me. So my question is, did you have guys call you up and say, hey, listen, I would go on a second date with you, but you've really intimidated me, so I can't go out with you ever again? No. How did you know? Or is it sort of like, is this, I'm surmising this thing.
I heard from guys that I wasn't dating who knew the guys that I went out with. I would hear it from a third party.
Yeah, see, that's the part. I don't know why people say...
They would use words like too intense or they would, you know, it's been a while, but I would hear back from friends of theirs, you know, that was an issue.
Right. I guess
I scared guys off.
What I'm curious, and I believe that. I mean, you're a beautiful
woman. And I don't know what boy language
right.
they used.
I'm just curious on what is that. You know, like, how does a woman know? And this may be a conversation for another future episode. But as a guy, you know, and maybe it's because I need to meet Roberto Duran and have lunch with him in order to get a little flipped out. But I'm curious on how that sort of fits together. And obviously, like I said, this is a subject that may bleed over into into a future episode about whether or not, you know, and I have no doubt that successful and beautiful women, certainly, I mean, I've certainly heard from women who are very attractive that they sat home on weekends waiting for somebody to call.
Oh, I did that all the time.
I've heard that plenty. So, you know, is that intimidation or is it the assumption that, oh, she's so attractive, I'm sure everybody's beaten down her door, or some other thing?
Well, I had a client once who was told by a guy when he saw her house He actually said something along the lines of, you have this beautiful house, and what do you need me for? And so I think that men have been loaded with a societal expectation, and women feed that expectation all the time. We're really guilty of it, that they need to be making more money and providing in that way. And one of the things that I think is really, I think it's important to really recognize that men protect and provide in more ways than just cash. And just providing cash is not enough. There's, you know, this whole safety of providing an emotionally safe place that is swoon worthy. Do you have anything to say on that?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we're running out of time, so we'll probably revisit this, but you know, I think to me, again, cup half full guy, I probably go with dating and finding a partner, regardless if you're beautiful or talented or have tons of cash, is hard. Very seldom. Once in a while do I, like, I know a couple people who are just like, we met in high school and we kept going and now we're done.
So we will be back next week. We want to make the dating and the marriage and the love easier. Join our community at crazysexymidlifelove.com, and you can see a 3-minute video of our first 11 weddings there.
Oh, right. We did that.
Which is fun. So, yeah, we'll see you next week. Same Midlife Love time and channel. And join us. Sign up for our newsletter at Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Join the love family.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.